Okay.
Don't pay attention to us.
But you pay attention to that. Come on, that's hilarious. I need to hear a little more. This is my chance. I surprised him with it at 9. He's not surprised now, but he still loves it. So, yeah, you might end up in my sermon today. We'll see. So, I'm Becky Corum. This is my husband, Rusty, and we're glad you're here. And anybody online, welcome, and we'll see how all this rolls. Is that everything I was supposed to say? How'd I do?
Really good.
Okay. All right. So how we got here. So when the pandemic hit 2+ years ago, we were looking for some different ways to connect with you at New Hope. And so someone suggested this. What is it, honey? Talk to me. Or fix it. So we started doing this thing called Dig In, where we would take the weekend message, and on Facebook Live Wednesdays at noon, we would just sort of talk about the message. And it ended up like going remarkably well, better than I thought, just as far
She's talking about our marriage right now.
I mean, just the dynamic between us, I just wasn't sure how, I felt like once we did it would be okay, but I felt like maybe the part of preparing for it maybe was a little iffy. But as it ended up, we have actually really enjoyed doing that. So we started, we floated out the idea maybe with each other about possibly trying a message series. I think we talked about that a year ago. And so here we are, we're trying it out. We'll see how it goes. For the last several plus years around Easter, I have read the story of Peter in the Bible and looked at that, and I'm so so blown by his story. I'm so touched by his story because, I mean, he could have edited out so much. He was pretty much a mess. Love him. And he just, it's extraordinarily hopeful to me that all of the stories of sort of his chaos and where he didn't do it and a few places where he did it very badly, it's very, very hopeful to me. So that's how we got here with Peter.
Right? And we still like each other.
Yeah.
At least we did this morning. We'll see this afternoon.
And after 9, so there's that.
Yeah, so one of the things I hope you'll do is so we're going to spend these 4 weeks, we're going to be looking throughout the New Testament about Peter's life. There is really not, the impact of the Bible can't be underestimated. There is so much truth in it. There's so much about you and me. You know, human nature has not changed. We have all different kind of technology. And somehow we get this idea that we're so evolved or we're so whatever. No, we really aren't. We have smartphones, but we're not any smarter. Human nature is exactly the same. We just have different vehicles for displaying it. And back to what Becky said about Peter, the reason we know about his life is that he didn't have it edited out. He was one of the key leaders in the church. He could have said, look, there's some stuff in here I don't want anyone to know. I mean, we do that with resumes, don't we? You turn in a resume and it's a glowing picture of, it's got some semblance of you, but it's not all that accurate. And the same as the job description. They say that resumes and job descriptions are two sets of lies trying to find common ground. We don't find that in the Bible. We get to see the heroes and the heroines. We get to see their whole picture. And I'm grateful to Peter that he didn't have that edited out. And it gives us hope for who we are. And as we walk through this, what we're going to see is that Jesus knows us and meets us right where we are. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. And right this moment, there's not anything that he's missing. And the amazing thing is he came for us because he cares about us and we need him. So we're going to be seeing this. And today what we're focusing on is this the first encounter we have recorded of Jesus and Peter. A couple of things about this. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we get this idea that these people were, they were different. You know, they're not like me, or they had it easier than I do. And we automatically hear something like you're going to hear Jesus ask Peter a question. He answers as if that's the first time he'd ever even heard of Jesus. Jesus made his home base around the Sea of Galilee, which is not really an ocean. It's just a huge freshwater lake. Capernaum was kind of his home base when he started his ministry. And in this area, he was getting to be well known. He was a tremendous teacher. These were all people of Jewish background, and they were intrigued by what he said. He could tell them what the Bible talked about. And then when Jesus was teaching and all, there were times when he'd do miraculous things. He never did it as a sideshow. He always did it to get people to pay attention to the message. And so he'd been doing that in the Capernaum area. Peter and others that were of Jewish background would have been interested in him, would have been hearing, and they had all been waiting for the Messiah. They were thinking, God's going to do something one day. And Jesus was starting to look like maybe he was the something God was going to do. They weren't sure what. And so on this particular day that we see Peter, Jesus has been teaching, and he's gathered a large crowd. He's become pretty popular. And the crowd was so big that he actually has to ask Peter, he and his brothers owned a fishing business. He said, can you guys take me out in your boat? Can I get a little offshore so I can speak to the large crowd? If you've ever been around water, water carries sound. It was before they had microphones like we're using, and it worked really well. So I want you to watch this. This is a scene from a production called The Chosen. And it depicts the story that Becky's going to read in a minute about Peter and his encounter with Jesus. And I think you'll see some things that are really cool about Jesus and about Peter and to make the event come alive. Let's watch that together.
Put that down for a catch. A little farther out.
I don't have a quarrel with you, teacher. But we've been doing this all night. Nothing. All right. At your word.
Get out!
my brother and the baptizer. You are the Lamb of God, yes?
I am.
Depart from me. I am a sinful man. You don't know who I am and the things I've done.
Don't be afraid, Simon.
I'm sorry. We've waited for you for so long, we believe. But my faith, I'm sorry.
Lift up your head, fisherman.
What do you want from me? Anything you ask, I will do.
Follow me.
I will.
It's such a powerful depiction, isn't it? And so in line with the biblical account of this. So I'm going to read to you from Luke 5, 1 through 11, and share some thoughts along the way. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. And he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, who is Peter, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. So one thing I want you to notice in this is there were crowds there pressing in to listen to the word of God. That's what they said. But Peter and his buddies were not part of the crowd that had sort of separated themselves and were there pushing in to hear the word of God. They were doing their job. They're doing their work. Now, they could hear Jesus, and they had been hearing Jesus. But I think it's interesting that they were a little bit on the fringe there. They were aware of Jesus, but not in the way that he was aware of them. He was totally aware of them. He saw them, and he knew them. And he knew them by name. The second thing, Jesus met them where they were. If there's any better example of this, I don't know. I mean, he not only went, you know, Jesus comes onto your turf when he wants to meet you. And he got in their boat. And, you know, I love the pictures of that and the stories of that in people's lives where I see Jesus literally like getting in their boat, in their life, in their job, in their relationships. And another thing I just want to point out is he's with his buddies. And there's brothers there, Peter and Andrew, James and John, and they're all friends and they're all in this together. And I just think so often Jesus comes and meets us in groups where we live, in our families, in people that we work with, in our friendships. And that's the way he wants it. And that's when we find Jesus. He wants us to reach out to those in our circle and begin to do this journey with them in helping them find Christ. I think so often, you know, you become a Christian and then you separate from all that and, you know, join the holy huddle. And that's just not this picture. They're just all in this. They're all in this together. So when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." And I think this is a little bit funny because I think a lot of things are funny in the Bible, but especially all the relational stuff. But I just think that a lot of times, as with Peter, I think that we kind of think like, well, Jesus, I think I might know just a little bit more than you do about this area of my life. Like, there's this kind of independence. There's this, you know, sometimes a flat-out arrogance or just not knowledge that he knows all of this. He knows us. He sees us. And so I think the film captured that a little bit. But he says, "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all last night, and we didn't catch a thing," Jesus just saying. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear, and a shout for help brought their partners in other boats, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. Such a joyful moment in the film, wasn't it, where they're just all freaking out. It's so great. So when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus, and he said, "Oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed, or another version says, astonished. So in this scene, Jesus, you know, not only came and met them in their boat, but now they are a part of this full-blown miracle that he wraps all the way around them with this whole fishing thing. And I think it's so interesting to me, Peter's reaction. You know, he just falls to his knees in the mud, you know, there before Jesus. And he's just a mess, and he's just sort of coming unglued. And I just think, what's going on with him? I mean, part of it is he recognizes sort of maybe the pride of, you know, I'm a sinful man. I didn't believe, and I didn't believe who you were. And so there's some of that. But there just seems to be so much going on with him. And then what I love is that Jesus just cuts through all that Peter is presenting in the mess that he is in that moment, and he cuts through to it, and he names what's at the core. He says, Peter, don't be afraid. It's fear. It's fear at the core of that. And that's so touching to me, because I deal with fear all the time. It's, you know, I mean, a lot of us do, and a lot of us do more than others. I mean, it's sort of my go-to thing, you know? And Jesus walks with me, and he gets me, and he doesn't abandon me in that, and he goes over it again with me, and he shows me again, I think just like Peter. And then he says, I don't know, I just feel like from the very beginning of this story, we see this mix from Peter that we'll see over and over again, that we can trace through his story, just this mix of pride and humility, of fear and faith, of belief and unbelief, of hiding and being seen. And all of that we can all relate to. And then he says, Peter, I will make you fishers of men, which is kind of a strange thing to say, but Peter gets the analogy even better than, of course, that we would. And I think Peter's response to him in that, just in that interaction, is Peter's all in. I'll follow you. I'm going to follow you. And Jesus said, I'm giving you a vision for your life. I'm going to make you fishers of men. God created us with this core in our gut for meaningful relationship and for impact in our world. That's what he created us with. And Jesus in that moment is saying to Peter, I've got this. I've got this.
So we've seen two things. One is that just like with Peter, Jesus, he knows us and he meets us right where we are. So where we are right this moment. He also pursues us and takes us as we are. He didn't look at Peter and say, oh, come on, Peter, you're a really good guy. You ought to see some of these other guys. They're a mess, but you're all right. He also didn't say, you know, Peter, you know what? You're right. You're a sinful, huge mess, and I don't have anything to do with you. Go work on your life. Deal with your pride, your arrogance, and all this kind of stuff, and then come back, and maybe I'll do something with you. It's kind of the way our world operates, is we're either all really good, and then we get that because we've compared with someone else, and we can always find someone we're better than, at least in our own estimation. Or, and this is a disservice that churches have done for a long time, is just saying people are hopeless and worthless. And we're used to seeing that a lot, too. We've just come out of 2 years of just smearing people and writing them off. Jesus didn't do either one of those. In fact, he didn't even address what Peter said about him being so sinful. He moved past that because he was accepting Peter right as he is. But there's more to the story. Jesus has a vision for your life and mine. And that vision, like Becky said, is he wants us to have a real impact, and he wants us to have genuine relationships in our life. And that's only going to happen if we get rightly connected to him. And we're going to see it in Peter's life. We're going to see changes in him. Perfect? No. But we're going to see him progress. We're going to see him grow and develop. And I'm going to tell you that Jesus' vision for your life right now is bigger than anything you have for you. He knows what your potential is. He's known it all along. And the only thing that can get in the way of you and me experiencing that is whether we say yes or not. Sometimes we have our own idea, successful life will be X, and we're going to pursue that no matter what. But God has a much bigger story, a much better one for us. And it begins by him not changing our circumstances, not changing the situations we're in, not changing the people around us, but changing us from the inside out. And as we allow him to do that, it's amazing what he can do. It's actually astounding what he can do. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun." It doesn't say a new life is finished. It just says a new life has started. And as you cooperate with him, let him have access to your life, you're going to see him change and develop and grow us. I mean, this is what he wants to do. And throughout this series, we're going to be taking a pretty hard look at this. I don't know where you are right now, but I hope you will at least entertain the idea. God might know exactly what's going on with me. He might get me. Maybe there's something he can do with me if I trust him.
My whole life, it has been a joy to see Jesus seek and save and transform the lost. And for the last 30 years, that's been here at New Hope. We've seen many people become followers and have had the honor and privilege of being parts of some of those stories. I think a lot of you might be surprised to know that most of the current New Hope staff are adults that became Christians as adults through relationships here at New Hope. And then God saved them and gave them a vision. The vision that he has for their life, and they're invested here in helping other people to find Jesus. We didn't go scoop up, you know, the cream off the top of the seminary crop. We grew our own. I love that. I just thought of that, and I love that. Do you? It's so great. So as I was thinking through stories this week, one particular story came to mind, and I wanted to share that with you about a follower. I grew up in a Christian home. My daddy was a minister, and I had four brothers. And by the time I was 9, I knew that Jesus loved me, and I also knew that my sin at 9, had separated me from him. And I remember one Sunday in particular just having a broken heart about that. I remember sitting by my mommy on the pew and just tears streaming down my face as the Holy Spirit wrestled with my heart over that. And I asked Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord, and I committed my life to him. Has it been a perfect journey since then? It's been a Peter journey since then. I continued to follow Christ, and when I was 16, my older brother, who was 19, was not a Christian, was living a life far from God. I mean, his life was entirely wrapped around his friends and partying, And I was aware that their choices were becoming much more dangerous and risky, and the consequences were becoming more serious. And I worried about them, and I prayed for them. And when God would give me opportunity and when I was brave, I would talk to my brother about, you know, walking with Jesus and what this was like for me and my concerns. My brother was always the fun one, and most of his friends were fun and drunk. But there was one friend that he had that was a little different. He seemed a little more hardcore, reckless, and sort of unreadable. I mean, like, and kind of scary. I mean, you'd see him, you're like, wow, what's going on? That guy, I got no idea. And I think if we had taken a vote on who was the last person we knew who would ever been the least bit interested of Jesus, he was that guy. And Rusty was that guy. And at a point, Jesus began calling my brother to himself. I could see the Holy Spirit pursuing him in some fresh ways. And so there was this evangelist that was coming to Richmond. This is back in the 70s, coming to Richmond, going to be at the Coliseum. And he was, like, funny. He was down to earth. He talked about the Bible in practical ways. And my brother decided to go. And I was just blown. I was so excited. And so my brother invited a friend. Guess who he invited? Rusty. So they came each night to this multi-night event. And I was there, you know, with all my 16-year-old friends, my youth group, you know, Jesus Freaks of the 70s, and we were just so happy, you know. And so we all knew, and my brother was there, Rusty was there, and so each night they would go, Rusty and my brother would go, would listen and would be there, and then they'd go out together and they would talk about this Jesus thing. And is this real? And could this be real? And if this is real, it would change everything. And they weighed it really carefully. And on one of the very last nights of this event, at the conclusion of the service, they did a thing that in evangelical churches they call the invitation, where they would ask anybody who was interested in becoming a Christian or knew they were ready to do this to, like, publicly come out, walk the aisle, come forward, and then somebody would help them understand and everything. So I remember on one of these nights, I was there with my friends, and there was just this wave in our section of the Coliseum, this murmur of excitement. We looked down, and my brother was coming down the aisle. And I was just like Peter and his buddies in the boat, was so astonished. And then five steps behind him was Rusty. May I never lose the wonder, either one of us. My joy could not be contained. I had prayed and hoped, and God had moved. So just like with Peter, Jesus knew Rusty. He knew him. He saw him. And he knew how Rusty presented himself, you know, the guy I described. But Jesus knew that that's not all there was, that there was much more than hardcore, unreadable, unreachable Rusty. He knew Rusty had a hungry soul longing for forgiveness and meaning. Recently, Rusty described his life before Christ to me as meaningless. You know, it's just, it's heartbreaking. But Jesus, just like he did with Peter, he cut through those exteriors with Rusty, and he reached his heart and he met him where he was. Jesus pursued Rusty. He pursued him and called him to himself. Rusty knew almost nothing about the Bible. Everything he knew, he learned in 3 nights. He didn't know anything much about the Bible, about Jesus, or becoming a Christian. But this man that preached this gospel truth made it simple and clear. And just like Peter falling in the mud at Jesus' feet, confessing, "I'm a sinful man," bringing all his belief, his unbelief, his faith, his fear. Just like me at age 9, bringing all that, Jesus said, "Follow me, Rusty." And Rusty said, "I will." Is that simple? You know, it's not complicated. Just like Jesus gave Peter a vision right from the beginning, when he said, "Peter, follow me." Peter said, "Yes." He said, "I will make you fishers of men." Jesus gives each one of us a vision for our life. We can have impact in people's lives. And he gave that vision to Rusty, as well as each one of us. And I remember the week after Rusty became a Christian, he and my brother, after school, they were out of school, but a lot of their friends still hung out in the McDonald's parking lot. And Rusty and my brother went to the McDonald's parking lot and were sharing Jesus with their friends, unashamed, just going for it. Years later, God joined our lives. We're about as different as our stories are different, as our ways of finding Jesus were different. Guess which one of us is the feeler? But we need each other so much, and God took his vision for my life, his vision for Rusty's life, and in this crazy, insane, joined them together and allowed us to be here and be part of starting New Hope. It's been an extraordinary thing to be part of this and to be part of seeing people find Jesus and helping them grow and be transformed. As Rusty often says, we get to do this. And I do feel like that. I think it's miraculous what we get to do. I wanted to mention that after the last service, I was talking to a gentleman out in the lobby, and he's about my age, and he said, "I wish I had been 19 when I found Jesus," because apparently it's not been that many years. And what I told him was, you know, the second guy on the list of the least person you would ever expect to find Jesus was Rusty's dad. And he found Jesus at 79. So 79, it doesn't matter. And he gave him a purpose and a vision, and his life had impact until 93. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So don't let that put you off wherever you are now. Don't wait, but wherever you are now, Jesus will take you as you are and take you on the adventure of your life.
I hope what you've heard will give you some hope. I hope some of us will be uncomfortable. Some of us will be excited. Some will be intrigued. When you leave today, there's a take-home sheet. It's got the notes, but it's also got just a way to interact with it. God does know exactly everything about you. There's, in fact, one of the questions here, is there anything you wish God didn't know about you right now? Now, we're not going to do that publicly. But, you know, those are the things that hold us back. Just like Peter, if we're really honest, God, you're holy, and I am a holy mess. So there's no way, but he is not put off by any of that. What are you going to do with it? And I really want to encourage you is to give him a chance to do what only he can do in your life. If you're watching us online, you can ask one of the hosts if you'd like to find out more about how do I get to know Jesus, how do I cross the line of faith. If you're here today and you're wondering about it, you can talk to me or Becky or any one of us on staff. But don't let this be just an interesting thing to hear us talk. That's the least important thing here. What is Jesus saying to you? And what does he want you to say back to him? Let's pray. God, it is really good to know that our faith is not based on emotions. It's not based on just merely traditions or rituals. But you have come for us. You want a relationship with us, and you offer us everything we need. I pray that today, those of us that know you will be reminded of just how fortunate we are, how good you are, and what it's like to be truly forgiven and loved, and to now have a purpose and to be able to enter into relationships with some substance. For anyone here that doesn't know you yet, I pray that you will stir something in them, that there'll be a godly kind of discontent that will not allow them to go any further without really exploring what it would mean to get to know you, and most of all, to have you be their leader and their Lord. In Christ's name, amen.